Welcome to Family Guidons, the podcast created by military spouses for military families.
We're the ones holding down the home front during deployments, state activations, and everything in between.
Here we have an honest conversation about the realities of military life, the highs, the hard moments, and the strength it takes to keep moving forward.
Whether you're new to the military community or a seasoned spouse who's seen it all,
Family Guidons is your place for connection, support, and real conversations.
Because no one understands life like the ones who've been living it beside them.
This is Family Guidons. Fall in.
Welcome back to Family Guidons. Today's episode is titled Stars, Stripes, and Service, where we'll talk about all things patriotism. My name is Charlotte Stillwell. I am a military spouse of 31 years, a military mom to a son who is currently serving on active duty, and I'm also a Gold Star child. My father was killed in Vietnam when I was 20 months old.
My name is Michelle Matheny. I am a military spouse of 14 years, a mom to three wonderful little girls, a small business owner, and a volunteer for my husband's unit's SFRG and a lot of other things, and a huge supporter of the military in general.
My name is Kathy Bridgers, and I'm a mother of two adults. I've been a military spouse for almost 30 years and a military mother for 9 years now as my son's deployed. We want to talk about the 4th of July, and it's not just about fireworks. It's about our history and reflecting on it and the sacrifices that needed to be made so that we could enjoy the freedoms that we enjoy every day. And so the question is, what does it truly mean to love your country as we celebrate the 250th birthday of the United States of America?
Yeah, and I think, you know, patriotism has probably changed over the years of what it looks like or what it means or how people show it. And this is a time of year where it's so easy to see it. Obviously, we're all dressed for it today. But, you know, just really trying to think more about what that means through service and sacrifice and not just celebration. So we're going to chat a little bit, and then we're going to have a guest on later in the episode to tell us about her experience and celebrate her accomplishments a little bit. So we're excited about that. But I think, you know, looking at patriotism, just thinking about that word, what that meant to me in a different phase of my life was probably much different than what it means now as a military spouse, a military family, you know, going through the different stages that we've gone through. So I think, you know, we may think about that word a little differently than some other people do.
I agree. Well, we're all dressed in our red and white today, our stars, and you do think about patriotism being flying the flag, celebrating the 4th of July, celebrating all of the holidays. But I think, you know, you're talking about how it changes as mm-hmm. you know, you have served with your family. And I do think that my view of patriotism has matured over the years.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And I've understand it now to be so much more than those things. And people are engaged in patriotism, whether they realize it or not, outside of those holidays. Mm-hmm. Even, you know, today as we're recording, it's, you know, primary season in South Carolina. And, you know, we're all being called to do our civic duty and voting. So all of those things are acts of patriotism, participating in our government as it was created.
Yeah. I think, you know, we kind of live it every day, too, more maybe than some other people in terms of just the constant thought about the sacrifice mm-hmm. and what that means. You know, I am hopeful that it's exciting news, you know, that hopefully this is the last holiday I have to celebrate without Bill. So
absolutely.
That's
Yay.
A very exciting
yeah,
thing.
That's huge.
But you think about that stuff, you know, yeah. on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Just missing that person.
Mm-hmm. And that's a sacrifice.
Yeah.
On your part and his, yeah. your whole family.
And the willingness to keep doing it. You know, you yep. don't get through the first holiday and say, well, I'm calling it quits on this.
Right. I'm done.
It's that commitment.
Yeah.
And I think that's where, you know, we just do it. As military families, we know that our service members are committed, and we are committed as well.
Right.
And you're going to... There may be another holiday down the road for all of us, but we cross that bridge when we get to it, and it's out of our love for country and love for the military and our love for supporting our service men and women.
Yep. It's a very maturing, I think, tough realization when you realize it's not about you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we tend to kind of be self-focused, I think, in general, you know, growing up and in the country that we're in, because we have a lot of privileges. But you get to the point where you realize there's so much of a bigger picture, and you're doing a small part of it by just holding it together and trying to thrive while they're gone.
Well, and there's nothing that will teach you that it's not about you faster than, you know, this lifestyle, right?
Oh, definitely.
Listening to what your, you know, what your service member has to deal with or go through, or the struggles and, you know, trials and tribulations that they deal with. And then also, you know, what you do at home. So shout out to all those military families out there, and to the service members. You have a really neat email to share today. I think this is a good spot for that.
I do too. And I was just about to pull that out.
Yeah.
So we have an email today from Carla E. And it reads as follows. Serving in the military has been one of the most defining experiences of my life. I thank the Lord for leading me to serve. My parents moved our family from Mexico City to New York in 1989, and as a child, I didn't realize we were poor. Ignorance truly is a kind of blessing. I remember my grandparents feeding us before school, building dollhouses out of bricks outside, growing up in a home without indoor plumbing. Looking back, I often wonder what my life would have been like if my parents hadn't made that move. Life in America changed everything. Even when I experienced poverty here, it was different. With hard work and perseverance, you can build a better life. That opportunity and belief is what makes this country so special. I had the opportunity to attend college and to earn an Army commission. I've had the privilege of leading America's sons and daughters, and that responsibility deepened my respect for our nation and the freedoms that service members defend. I've learned from every soldier I've ever served with. They've made me a better leader and person, and for that, I am forever grateful. The bonds formed in service are lasting, grounded in sacrifice, selfless service, and a commitment to something greater than ourselves. Being an American is a privilege. Being a soldier has been my greatest honor, and without a doubt, America is truly an incredible nation worth serving.
Wow.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Gosh, there's so much in that.
Yeah. If that doesn't just sum it up, I think that's a wonderful, like I said, I was thinking about that as we were talking, but it just is so, it's such a good illustration of, you know, the American dream and why people think this is such a wonderful place to be. And then the service part too. Really neat.
We have a lot of privileges that have been given to us, and they were set in motion 250 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's easy sometimes to overlook them, but they're ever present, and it's good to hear from someone who has lived it.
Yeah.
Just as a reminder.
Absolutely.
Someone who didn't have it and now does. When you're raised with it, it's just kind of expected.
Yeah.
And you don't think about people that didn't get to live with that their whole lives. We were going to talk about some of the unseen contributions over time that kind of helped to support our nation moving forward. So I did a little research, because if they're unseen, then we don't know about them. And I found a blog by Melissa Bauman called Homefront Archives Behind the Uniform. It's a digital blog of military spouse contributions over generations of service. I'd like to share a brief overview of her summary of the history of it. Throughout every major conflict in American history, military spouses have quietly carried enormous responsibility. They managed logistics, created support networks, cared for injured service members, organized community resources, and stepped into gaps long before official systems existed to handle those needs. Much of this work was never formally recognized for what it truly was, volunteerism that was essential and critically helpful to wartime efforts. Martha Washington didn't just simply visit Valley Forge. She helped hold it together through organization and leadership. During the Civil War, military wives did far more than wait for letters. They maintained communication networks, coordinated supplies, and kept families and units connected across distances and uncertainty. Spouses have done more than support deployments. They've helped create the family readiness structures the military continues to rely on today. During both World Wars, military spouses led war bond drives, organized relief efforts, volunteered in hospitals, and strengthened the community support systems that still serve military families generations later. Many also worked in factories during wartime. Some of the women, represented by Rosie the Riveter, were military spouses themselves, balancing exhausting shifts, rationing on top of the strain of long separations while loved ones served overseas. The letters across the oceans became more than personal correspondence. They became part of an emotional and informational backbone of wartime America. Military spouses carried these burdens without rank, without formal recognition, and often without a dedicated place in history books. They didn't just stand beside history, they helped carry it forward, not as spectators, but architects of resilience behind every generation of service. We are here to pay respect to that and to tell you how you can become an essential part of making history moving forward. So get involved, volunteer.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, you know, you've probably heard mentions of that stuff over time, but to hear it all at once is just kind of a neat summary of how...
It's like a lot.
It's a lot more than just sitting at home and waiting for them to come back, right? Then and now.
Yeah.
And I do love how a lot of those things, you know, that spouses started over the years are still in place, like the family readiness groups. Mm-hmm. Now they call them soldier and family readiness groups, technically. But, you know, those play a huge part in keeping the families connected and informed. It's in the modern times, it's now kind of become a commander's program again, they call it. So, it used to be kind of run more by full-time employees, and now it's really run almost completely by volunteers with, you know, full-time employees that kind of help us as consultants. But, I mean, in my role with the SFRG for Bill's unit, I mean, I am creating the monthly newsletter, emailing that out, getting information to the families when there are troop movements or changes in their ability to communicate or mail. You know, that was shut down for a very long time mm-hmm. in this most recent conflict. And so getting to be the one that, you know, got to share the news that they could send a package again was an awesome thing. But, you know, we do all of that in terms of the communication. We plan events, you know, trying to keep the families connected. And in this day and age, and especially in the National Guard, I feel like that's even more challenging than it ever has been because people are so used to easy access mm-hmm. to things that, you know, getting in the car and driving an hour or 2 hours to come to an in-person event is not what most people want anymore. So we've had to get really creative and how to keep those connections and do a lot more virtually. And so, you know, that was one of the motivating factors behind this podcast. Like, this is why, you know, this came to be with the support of the South Carolina National Guard. But doing more virtual stuff, we've done Zooms and had, you know, professionals come in to talk to people about mental health stuff or just, you know, other topics. We've done virtual get-togethers with the families where they can just get on and chat and be with other people in a Zoom room that, you know, that get it and feel the same way they do. And so it's been a really interesting experience. This is not my first turn, I guess, with the SFRG, but it has been much different this time around, you know, 12 years later than the last time that we were in a deployment situation. So, but... You know, I will make a plug for that program to our listeners. If you are in a place where you have the time or talents or capabilities to volunteer with a group, I think it is so, so important, because things, you know, we can do so much more when there are more hands mm-hmm. to spread the work. And when it's just one or two, you know, or three people trying to do it all, our capabilities are limited, because again, it's volunteer run. So we're all dealing with the other stuff at home while trying to support, you know, the challenges of the other families. So, you know, it doesn't have to be a lifelong commitment. It's not a full-time job, but if you have a couple hours a week that you could spare, for a group in your area, even if you're not a military spouse, mm-hmm. Some of the best SFRG leaders that I have known have no direct affiliation with a soldier in a unit. We've had some great ones that I've come across, you know, cross paths with, that are just, they're retirees that have, you know, military in their family and want to keep supporting. And sometimes that's even easier because they have a little more distance between what's going on. So you don't have to be a spouse to volunteer and make a difference with this. But yeah, it's a great organization.
And if you can find time to do it with everything on your plate,
exactly
job,
right.
kids, husband deployed, I think that other people can find a little bit of time to pitch in as well.
That's my hope. You know, like I said, it doesn't have to be a full-time thing. It just, a couple hours here and there makes a big difference.
I'm curious, Michelle, how well attended are the Zoom rooms?
They have been our most successful.
That's great.
Yeah. Our most successful event so far. Like I said, the in-person stuff has just been difficult this time, I think, especially with the distance between families in the National Guard. I mean, there's people that don't even live in South Carolina and their soldiers are deployed with, you know, our unit. So, but the Zoom is easy. It's, you know, they hop on, and our very first one, I think we had a little over 20
That's
spouses
great.
On there.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was with, I mean, I think less than 24 hours notice, but you know, people want the connection.
Yeah.
You just have to figure out how to meet them where they are. And so that's the tough part. So you got to get a little creative sometimes.
I was going to say that's creative and yeah. It sounds like it's working.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very good. So in thinking about, okay, so that's where we are now, how things have evolved. And you know, if you look back, do y'all ever hear, because I'm thinking about the future, do you hear people push back on the younger generation and say things like, these kids don't get it, they don't understand what sacrifice is, yeah. they don't understand patriotism? Y'all hear that from time to time?
Yeah.
Because I think I do.
Absolutely.
I bring that up because our guest today is a young person, and she happens to be getting it right.
Yes.
And our parents are leading her in a wonderful way. I love this. Before we talk to her, though, I want to bring up, and I haven't had a chance to catch up with you, and tell y'all this. This past Memorial Day, I had the pleasure of going to a small town in New Jersey. It was my dad's hometown, Cranford, New Jersey. This small town on Memorial Day honors all of their fallen service members who died in while actively serving our country. And my family was specifically asked to attend because this year the Cranford 86 group that does this, that hosts the ceremony and the parade, revisited my dad's story, rewrote it, got pictures from me, and you know, corresponded with me a little bit on his story. And one of the things that I said to the organizer and one of the researchers was, I didn't want there to ever be a time when my dad's name was never spoken mm-hmm. or when his grave was not visited once I had passed and my children had passed. Just the thought of that, even though he's at Arlington and there are lots of visitors, I wanted people to go. So I arrived at the ceremony and we were called on stage. Onto the stage, and they brought up a scout leader. And the scout leader called up his troop members, and they all lined up, you know, down from me. And he shared that when they do their project of going to D.C., they make it a point of visiting the graves of all of the service members, the 86 plus a couple now, who have died in active duty, mm-hmm. they visit their graves. Oh. Nice. And I've got a picture of some of them by my dad's grave.
That is so neat.
So sweet.
You know, and I just thought about the patriotism behind that and instilling in the next generation the importance of recognizing sacrifice mm-hmm. and understanding that there's a living family on this side of that tombstone. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it affects very real people. And I just can't tell you how touched I was at that she heard me say that and mm-hmm. she knew and she asked around, you know, for the story and I don't know, just having them deliver that message to me and giving me the picture, I just meant the world.
Yeah.
So I feel like there are people out there who are doing their part to yes. lead for our younger generation to show them patriotism, and what service and sacrifice can look like.
Well, and I think, you know, we can all do that in our own little ways, right? Mm-hmm. Like it relies on us to teach the next generation. Mm-hmm. Like I remember last year, I don't remember if it was Memorial Day or 4th of July, but my kids and I were walking into Walmart and they had the table for one set up.
Yeah.
At like the entrance to yeah. Walmart. And it would be very easy to walk by that and just go on my way with what we were doing for the day. Mm-hmm. I had to pick up a couple little things and was probably didn't have a lot of time to spare. But my oldest daughter asked about it. Mm-hmm. So we stopped mm-hmm. and we looked at the, you know, the kind of script of what it talks about and what everything on the table meant and why we do that. And like, that's a wonderful lesson. And it took 5 minutes out of my day. Mm-hmm. And now she gets it. Like right. She's got a little inkling of, mm-hmm. you know, that. That is something important to recognize. Like if you're ever anywhere, when we traveled in Europe, like we would always try to go see American military cemeteries.
Yes.
If we were there, mm-hmm. we made a trip to Normandy actually on the D-Day anniversary wow. for the celebrations mm-hmm. for one of the years we lived in Germany and just that stuff. Like she was little, my twins weren't even born. She doesn't remember much of it, if any, except for what we have in pictures. But like, I still think that stuff is impactful. Mm-hmm.
I do too. And that's active.
Yeah.
And I think that if we all, you know, take an active stance in modeling patriotism, but then also pointing it out mm-hmm. To people, that too would be impactful.
Yeah. And not just military families, but correct. Anybody can do this, be part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that Boy Scout leader in my eyes is getting it right.
Yes.
And that leads us to our guest, who yes. is also a South Carolina teen, who is getting it right.
Lindsay Robertson is 18 years old and from Somerville, South Carolina. She has been a part of the South Carolina National Guard Youth Program since she was 14, and she was selected within her first year to become a junior counselor. She has maintained that position up to her graduation this past spring. Lindsay has also represented South Carolina twice at the Region 4 Teen Symposium. She volunteers at many SCNG youth program events like the Overnight Youth Camp and the Soldier for a Day programs. Lindsay is described by her supervisors and peers as an outgoing, adventurous personality that kids naturally gravitate to. She brings energy, enthusiasm, and creativity to every event, inspires other youth to participate, and fosters an attitude of teamwork, inclusion, and positivity. Her volunteer efforts directly strengthen the SCNG Military and Family Readiness Program's mission of readiness, mentorship, and community connection. We are so excited to share that she is not only recognized as the South Carolina Youth of the Year, but also the Region 4 Youth of the Year, as selected by the National Guard Bureau. So welcome, Lindsay, and congratulations on your award. What an achievement and what an honor and a testament to your service.
Thank you for having me today.
Yes, we're grateful you could make it. I think it's also really interesting to note, before we get into the conversation with you, that you are the second teen from South Carolina to win this award, and a friend of yours, it sounds like, Santi Quiroz, won the Region 4 Youth of the Year award last year. So yes. I don't know what's happening in South Carolina, but these parents are doing something right. So
we
congratulations
like
to both of you.
Thank you.
So what inspired you to start volunteering? What put that thought in your head?
So we actually found about the camp through a friend of mine. And my parents always told me, you need to go to summer camp. And I was a little, I used to be a shy kid in middle school. And then I was like, you know what? Yeah, I want to go to summer camp. And I went and I fell in love with it. I was outgoing. It truly helped me be like out of my shell and meet so many people that I thought I would never talk to.
What were your favorite parts about that camp?
We have two different ones, so it's kind of hard to say which one was my favorite. I just think overall, my top favorite is probably meeting the kids at Camp Bob Cooper. Like, you're around kids all day and you're seeing so many different personalities in such a small body. It's truly amazing to see them. Like, the first day, they're quiet. They don't want to talk to nobody. They're scared to even get in the water. And then the second day, they're talking to everybody and they're screaming your name. They're talking to you, asking you so many questions. And I think that's what truly is my favorite part, is just seeing so many kids come out their shell and not be scared of anything.
My daughter went to Camp Bob Cooper for the first time last year, and she was definitely one of those kids. Like, when we dropped her off, I was like, she may not say a word, like, the entire first day. But by the time we picked her up, she was, like, didn't want to say goodbye, was running around hugging everybody. So it
is
neat.
It's insane what happens in 4 days.
Yes.
Like, you drop them off, and you're worried about them, and then you come back, and you're like, I shouldn't have been worried at all. Like, you're like a different little human being.
Yeah.
So it's amazing to see what it can do to you.
Yeah. It's a really neat thing for the kids.
What a blessing.
So you volunteer at camp, and what other volunteer, like, kind of things or events have you done with the Guard?
I would probably say just camp, because I am a very, like, I put all my work into work. So I work with real estate. So when I come to the summer, I put all my attention on these camps because it's just truly special to me. And I only want to focus on those camps.
You mentioned, I think I mentioned, and when we were talking before, but the Teen Symposium. So that's another event that you do, right? Tell us about that.
So I got elected to go to that twice. I went to Mississippi and then I went to Florida. It's 9 different states that go. And you meet so many different people. You're there for 4 days. And you do a bunch of activities with all the kids. So it's kind of like Camp Bob Cooper. You get put in a little group with different kids from all over the 9 states. And you meet you meet so many different people. And you go for 4 days. And you meet a bunch of people. And then you leave. And you're, like, actually sad that you don't get to see them again.
Yeah.
So, because not everybody gets picked to go the next year.
Right.
And I was blessed to go twice.
Very cool.
Have you made any friends that you've stayed in touch with?
Mm-hmm. I have 2 people from Kentucky, 4 people from Florida, 2 people from Mississippi, and a couple from North Carolina and Tennessee.
That's awesome.
What a neat experience. Very cool.
So how has this experience and serving as a counselor impacted your job today in real estate? I know that's not necessarily a question that we had talked about, but I see some things in you that I think you probably carried forward.
Oh, in so many ways. I think because I used to struggle not talking to people. I was scared to talk to people. I didn't want to start a conversation. Someone had to come up to me first. And then when I started going to that camp, I start every conversation first. I will go up to you while, like, you just be staring at me, and I will come up to you in seconds and talk to you. When I started working with real estate, it's helped me in so many ways that I have a conversation with everybody. I'm so talkative. I'm straightforward. I'm just there helping people because I'm so used to being at camp and helping everybody, being open, like, arms for everyone. And when I go into real estate, that's what people need, because you're buying a house and you're putting your trust with somebody, like selling your house. So it's helped me in many ways in real estate, which is amazing.
I see those, you call them soft skills? Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah.
You know, like the things that you don't learn in school.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or that are harder maybe for kids your age to learn because it's all technology and phones and all of that. So I think that's really neat.
School doesn't really focus on soft skills anymore. Yeah. It's kind of like you sit in front of a screen and then people don't really do, everyone's on social media. They don't really go out in person. And then I feel like with me, I have to be in person. That's just been an amazing thing about me that stood out to everybody. I feel like, and everyone can notice that, like, I love being open. Like, it's just open arms, really.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to talk to you over the phone. I want to talk to you in person. So
very neat.
We need more of that.
Yes.
Especially nowadays.
Yeah.
So I think you would have developed that no matter what the situation was, but I'm so glad that you had the opportunity to participate mm-hmm. in Camp Bob Cooper for the military kids.
I'm glad my parents forced me to go. Well, I'm glad they forced me to go.
So do you think that being a part of a military family has shaped some of that as well?
I feel like being a military family, not a lot of people notice what happens behind closed doors. Because it's actually, well, being strict. I think that's what I've learned. Being on schedule, no matter where I go, always being prepared and everything. But I don't think people realize how being in the military is stressful because your mom, dad, siblings, whoever is in the military, go away for a like, long period of time, short period of time, and you get scared, and you don't know if they're coming back. And that's another good thing about camp is that when you go, everyone knows what you're going through. Yeah. Everyone has experience about a family member going away for a period of time and not scared that they might not come back. I mean, I pray to God and hope they come back. So, but I think being that people don't realize how stressful it can be in the military, especially for kids. Like, people think about the parents, but people don't think about the kids as well. Because just because we're not in the military and we don't experience the things that they see and hear doesn't mean that we're also struggling. Like, we're struggling because we're scared that they might not come back or something might happen and we get those news. So I think being in the military also helps you just think about other people's perspectives. Like, think about what – just stepping in their shoes and seeing how they feel, and then you shouldn't judge them on that. So I think being in the military, it helps you think about other people deeply and wonder what, like, yeah, if I was in their shoes, I wouldn't want people to judge me like that. Right. Like, I should stop doing that.
Right. Yeah.
So.
Very true.
Very mature. Empathy.
I know. Mm-hmm. Great empathy. Like
mm-hmm. What challenges have you faced while serving others?
I don't think I really struggled with, like, challenges serving people. I think.
Even way back in the beginning?
Well, I feel like in the beginning, if someone asked me, hey, can you help me with this big challenge? I'll be like, no. But like now, like, sure. I'll be the first one to even raise my hand. Not even raise my hand. I'm just walking to you already. Like, sure, you don't even have to ask me. Mm-hmm. So I don't think there's been a certain challenge that I struggled with. So
it's definitely given you confidence.
Oh, 100%. Right, that's a great thing. I used to have no confidence. And now it's like, I think that's the only thing that's in me. Like, I think it's just straight confidence. So I never doubt myself anymore, and I don't doubt nobody else.
Yeah,
so.
That's huge.
Do you have one favorite moment or specific moment that really, like, stands out in your memory or made a big impact to you that you were like, yes, I'm going to keep doing this?
I think when my last year at Camp Bob Cooper, last year, because when you're 17, you graduate, and you become an SC when you're 18. So last year, I got voted for this reward. It was about a young lady who used to be there. She passed away because of cancer, and they made her as a reward. I think it was Rachel. I don't know her last name, but all of our kids were doing the marching, who won the best, who all that, and giving rewards out. And towards the end, they called my name, and I walked up. And they gave me that reward from the lady. Mm-hmm. And it was talking about how outgoing you were. You were always there. Mm-hmm. Like, no matter who's going through something, like, you were there understanding their situation. Like, you never doubted nobody. So, and when I got voted that reward, it's like, yeah, like, I belong here. Yeah. Like, this is something that will always stay to me, and I will always keep doing this. Even if I got broken knees or something because of my old age, like, it will always be there for me.
Hopefully you have a ways to go before that.
Yeah. I know.
We feel you.
I hope. My mom's already like, you're like a 9-year-old in an 18-year-old body. Like, I can't help it. I can't help it.
So what would you say to other teens who might be interested in volunteering for anything?
I feel like with volunteering for teens, a lot of people are like, you're too quiet, like, you won't last. Mm-hmm. I feel like no matter if you're the most introverted or, like, extroverted, I think that's the word, like, I feel like no matter what your personality is, you have a strength for every situation. And I had multiple people tell me, like, when I was at camp, I had the 14-year-olds come up to me and, like, I want to be a JC, like, but I don't think I can do it. And I'm like, well, that's where you messed up. Like, you don't think that you can do it, like, you know you can do it. Just because other people are telling you, that's because they know that they're not going to do great. That's because they know you're going to do great. Mm-hmm. I always tell them, like, even if you're the shyest person, always smile first. Just smile at everybody, wave at everybody, try to have a conversation. Like, it's hard to have conversations because a lot of people struggle with it. But it's honestly, once you do it, you're like, okay, it wasn't that bad, actually. Mm-hmm. I just tell them, always smile, always have a conversation, and have faith in yourself. Because so many people, the reason why they don't do things and they regret it after, because they had this negative thought saying that, yeah, I couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. But when you did it, you realized you could have done it.
Yeah.
So
I think that's a lesson for adults, too.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Listen to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you make a great point about, you know, everybody has their strengths.
Yes, so maybe 100%.
Even if somebody doesn't end up being the most outgoing person there is probably some job that they can volunteer for that would still be a huge contribution.
There's a job for every personality out there.
Yeah.
Just because, like, I'm outgoing and you could be really quiet, like, we have our flaws and strengths. Like, you can be amazing at something that I can't do. Mm-hmm. And that's amazing about us. Like, and that's how good friendships form, too, because I can't do that, but you can. So that's a great combination to have.
You learn from each other.
100%.
Yeah, it's nice.
You read their emotions. You read their body language. Mm-hmm.
Was there anything else you want to share with us before we sign off today? Anything you want to share with our listeners?
Always smile.
I love that.
That's a good message.
I love that.
Sure is.
Well, thank you so much for being here.
Thank y'all for having
to
me.
Us. And congratulations again on your big accomplishment.
Thank you.
A very, very great honor.
I'm blessed to have it. I was very shocked.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Keep inspiring others to get involved.
100%.
So in talking about patriotism, we have talked about just your displays of patriotism. But in Lindsay, I think we just saw patriotism in action.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those are just very real ways of serving and serving as a role model for younger military children. And that's patriotism in action. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we all strive for.
And how lucky we are to have, you know, youth like you and like Santi that, you know, are willing to step up and
he's amazing.
Take those leadership roles and teach the younger, you know, the younger kids too.
So I'd like to speak a little bit more. You mentioned Santi again. I do think we should say a little bit more about him. He is from Alkaloo, South Carolina, and I had to look it up. It's near Manning. Being from South Carolina, I had not heard of this small town. So, yes, it is near Manning. His parents are Dagoberto and Tanya Quiros. He is a graduate of Sumter High School, and he is moving into the engineering field. A couple of descriptors that we used for Santi in his submission for the award include being the first to volunteer to fill a water container. He's willing to disclose a fear like heights and encourages other campers in hopes to get them involved as well. He constantly encourages others to go ahead of him, often not recognizing the character that he is displaying. He sets an example to other teens and to other youth, younger youth, about what it means to put others first. We know him to be a volunteer first. He is humble and kind and shows selfless service. Another outstanding member of our next generation.
Yes.
And, you know, Lindsay, Santiago, the scout leader that I mentioned earlier, they're all doing their parts as Americans, and they're leading. And that gives us hope for the next 250 years that our great nation has before it.
Absolutely. So, you know, I would just encourage, we would encourage everybody out there to, you know, get involved yourself, get your kids involved, and you are never too young to start service. I mean, whether that is in a big way, like what you've done, or picking up trash on the side of the road, or visiting, you know, a nursing home, or whatever you feel like your family can handle, but just finding a way to give back. And if they're not old enough to volunteer, like in the youth programs, if you're military and they're not old enough to volunteer there, then have them start attending events. I think that's the best way to get them comfortable and to hopefully open that door for them in the future. So
that's great. Well, if you enjoyed today's podcast, we would love for you to hit the follow button on whatever platform you listen to your content on. And speaking of platforms, we're no longer going to be on Spotify, but we are on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Pandora, DVids, and YouTube still. So join us there, please, and share us with another military family. Join us for our next episode, which will be a continuation of today's episode, which is Stars, Stripes, and Service. And as always, thank you for joining us at Family Guidons from the Bluff Road Readiness Center in Columbia, South Carolina, to wherever you may be. Until next time.